Thanks, Alan. Dr. John Paul Clark is now going to give his presentation.
Suppose I click on this, huh?
He's got a PDF.
Yeah, it should be fine. Okay, let me. 10 minutes, that's the shortest I've ever spoken in a long time. So, here's the story. Current operations are suboptimal. Airlines spend a lot of money on flight planning software, millions of dollars every year. But except for certain regions in the world, specifically the Pacific, you're going to be suboptimal. Even across the Atlantic, you have the track system, and once you have any route structure that you have to fly, you're basically suboptimal. And further, when it comes to emissions, you might consider fuel costs and overflight fees, but emissions are not explicitly considered. And as an airline, you decide what's perfect for you, you send it into your ANSP, and they decide what your definition of perfection is, because they say, well, you can't use this airspace at this time, so we're going to reroute you around here. So it's a very much of a combinatorial problem that's not very tractable. What we proposed, and people have bought into as the solution, is what we call trajectory-based operations. And the idea, the sort of the main idea that people have been running with, is that operators would negotiate a 4D trajectory, i.e. to be at a certain place at a certain time. And if there is some reason you can't make it, then you'll call back and renegotiate a new trajectory. I like to think about this problem like the many years I spent in Boston on the number one bus, which is if you had a schedule where you'd have to be at a bus stop, every bus stop at a specific time, you'd spend half the time speeding up and half the time slowing down if you're going to try to meet every time step, which obviously is not efficient, neither from a fuel burn perspective nor from an emissions perspective. So this big giant head approach, where you have a centralized deterministic solution, won't work. So why won't it work? Well, if you look at the research that's coming out now, beyond about 20 minutes to half an hour, you can't really tell where there's actually going to be a conflict or not, because the uncertainties in the operating environment are such that in a space of about half an hour, it builds up where you can't tell whether or not, is this airplane really going to be within 5 miles of the next airplane? Nobody knows. And then, if we ignore the uncertainties, you have a really large combinatorial problem. And if you do include the uncertainties, the math gets really heavy really quickly, trust me. In addition, there's limits on bandwidth. Think about all airplanes trying to renegotiate their trajectories all at the same time. So what I'm going to talk about today is what I think is a pragmatic approach, which can get us most of the way there, and that builds on existing work that's being done by me and by others as well. And so there are three steps in this approach. The first is, let's not try to determine the exact trajectory of every airplane for their entire line of flight. Let's just try to figure out how many airplanes we can truly handle in every volume of airspace. And that's an interesting problem in and of itself, because there's uncertainty in weather and traffic patterns. But we can do that. We can develop a number. In fact, we can develop a probability distribution for what the capacity is going to be in a specific volume of airspace. The second is, let's figure out what's the optimal route for every individual aircraft subject to this volume constraint, which is the least constraint we can put on there. And then finally, when we get close enough, half an hour, 40 minutes, and we're actually sure that there's going to be a conflict, let's resolve them, but let's do it in a fuel-efficient or emissions-efficient point of view. So the idea is simple. Let's figure out for each airplane its optimum, and if we have to deviate from that optimum, let's do it as small a deviation as possible to resolve potential conflicts on the time scale when we know that they're going to happen. So to determine the capacity, there's a little three steps. I think everything is in three today. First, you figure out, based on the probabilistic weather forecasts, how much blockage you're going to get. How much airspace you're going to have to work with. Second, you figure out a probabilistic capacity using Monte Carlo simulation. And then third, you basically use what's called a stochastic program to determine the number of aircraft to send. And I'll skip this step and get to this. So what happens over the course of this the simulation is that you basically get this thing to converge into... Oh, this thing is not so good. Into this distribution, which basically tells you that I'm pretty much sure that I'll get more than 20 airplanes through, I'm pretty much sure I won't get more than 60, and this is the probability that I will get 40, 50 airplanes through. So if you're risk averse, then you basically limit the number. If you are a risk taker, you increase it. Or if you want to be quantitative about it, you can actually look at the cost of a diversion versus the cost of a misconnection in your operations and actually figure out what the capacity of that airspace should be. And I'll skip this one. I had to put some equations in there. But this equation basically trades off that risk. And I'll leave this as a homework problem for everyone. The next step, step two, is to figure out optimal routing. And I basically here call a friend of mine at Jepson, Steve Altus, who is, I consider, one of the leading lights in this area, who's been working with a student at Stanford looking at how to come up with flight plans that consider fuel cost, overflight charges, and emissions. And he's done some really interesting work looking at how we can minimize the total cost. And the good thing about him, he's actually using an actual flight planning software that's actually in use and modifying it. And here are some results where you actually see here going from San Jose, California to Washington Dulles. You can see the difference in the flight plans when you look at give me the fuel minimum route or the emissions minimum route. And what you can see here that in this case is a trade-off. One gives you 5.3% less NOx. The other one gives you less fuel and a little bit less time. So there's a trade-off. But the fact is that we now have the capability to take that second step, which is to figure out what's the optimal route. Now, once you figure out how much that NOx is worth, then maybe you can put the cost together and trade this off and come up with one number. But I'll leave that to others in the room. And then finally, the last step. How do you do this fuel optimal conflict resolution? And so we have a project that's been funded by the FAA where we're actually doing that. And the idea here is you have a whole bunch of airplanes flying through a volume of airspace. How can we figure out how to just basically offset them a little bit so that they almost like fly like, you know, military platoons when they fly by, when they march by each other? Basically take a little bit of structure when you need to resolve the airplane conflicts or change altitude and bring them back. And then basically make sure that you end up at the exit point of that volume of the airspace at the right time so that you don't pass your problems down to the next controller, which is always a good way to resolve a conflict, pass it down to somebody else. And also make sure that you minimize fuel burn. So in summary, because I had 10 minutes, I'm good. Current en route operations are suboptimal. By definition, once you add a route structure, you're basically suboptimizing the system, right? What's proposed as a centralized deterministic trajectory-based operations is untenable for many reasons. One is we can't tell 3 hours from now whether there's going to be a conflict over Ohio between two planes passing there. There's just no way to tell. The uncertainties in our current operating environment are too great, and no matter how good we get at weather, I don't see it becoming that good in my lifetime for us to be able to tell. So we need a very pragmatic approach where you divide into these functional steps. One, figure out how much airplanes you can handle. Two, plan the best you can, combining fuel, emissions, and overflight charges, basically the net costs. And then, if you're going to deviate, make sure the deviations for conflict resolutions happen on the time scale when you're sure you need them, and minimize the amount of deviations. And that's it.